We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dallas Cowboys say they're locked and loaded with Dak Prescott as is, ready to go into this season. If it's the final year of the deal, it's the final year of the deal. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I think this is a mistake. Perloff, it's funny because you're looking at the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll play some sound from Jerry Jones at the owners' meetings yesterday. And you think about the amount of players that they have and the amount of people they have going into potentially last years of the deal. I mean, Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy most notably, but Jerry also making some interesting comments about CeeDee Lamb, you know, like kind of putting the future a little bit in doubt for CD, which I think is very, very interesting, and that is sort of new. It's just wild to me that they're setting this up where it feels like this is almost a little bit of a last go-round with both Dak and McCarthy. Because we'll put McCarthy to the side for a second. With Dak, I think this has such big backfire possibilities on them. Like, this could boomerang back and blow up in all of their faces.
I totally agree with you. There's two options here. One, Dak has a great year, and then he comes to the negotiating table as a pure free agent next year. Then the salary, then you could might as well say the Cowboys salary cap is doomed for an entire decade. The other option is that he's not good enough, and they move on. Who's their quarterback next year?
Exactly. Forget,
say goodbye to 12-5. Hello to 5-12. You think that there's a? I just had this argument with EJ before. There's no quarterback out there that's as good as Dak Prescott for them next year because they're not going to have the number one pick. Shedeur Sanders is not arriving in Dallas. Say it's Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
So how do they restart a quarterback? I think that the Cowboys for a long time have been straddling this line, like many teams, where they want to get younger and good, but they don't want to rebuild. So are they really ready for a full rebuild to say goodbye to Dak Prescott and who knows, CeeDee Lamb? I mean, they do. Micah Parsons, they're paying. I mean, he's the crown jewel of this team. He's the one surefire superstar. So I think he'll be back. But you're right. There feels like the last dance, we're all in. Maybe that's what all in meant. We're going to go for it this year. But, man, I don't understand how they get out of this in good shape. Like, what's a scenario where the Cowboys build a champion? I don't see it.
Let's hear from Jerry Jones. Again, this was from Orlando yesterday, the owners' meetings, talking about Prescott.
I'm taking anything away from Dak wants to do any and everything he can on and off the field to help us win. We are where we are. We have our contract. We're locked and loaded for this year. And we can see as we move along. How we are thinking, we inclusive of everybody here, us, Dak, and we'll see what we do.
Okay, we'll see what we do. I guess we'll all see what you do. I can understand why if you're a Cowboy fan, your confidence right now is at an all-time low because they keep saying, and Jerry said this yesterday, we've had good rosters the last 3 or 4 years, and now it's time to pay the fiddler. I mean, that's the last thing you want to hear when you're a team that is not cashed in on a Super Bowl with this, you know, in this iteration of the Cowboys, or to give up that Dak will ever win a Super Bowl for you. Because again, it's painful to see on the other side. I've said this before. I said it yesterday. This is a grass is greener thing. I think you will regret messing around with Dak Prescott, who's already gotten over on you once on contract negotiations, and getting over on you again. I mean, Dak might not be the perfect QB, but he rebounded from a season where he threw 15 interceptions and where, you know, they lose again to San Francisco in the playoffs. And then he becomes an MVP candidate. And yes, they lost to Green Bay. He didn't give up the 38 points or whatever it was. I mean, your confidence level might not be high in Dak, but be wary of what's on the other side. The guy is still just 30 years old. in this day and age for quarterbacks, that's like still in your prime. You might still have another, you know, 5-6 good years left, minimum.
Yeah, I agree. We both of us do know, however, there are many Cowboys fans who are over the Dak experience, and I understand that. But here's the thing, too. Say that they play out this year. You know, there's a gigantic cap hit. I mean, if they do a preview one, it's $60-something million. So they're not going to have cap space anyway because it's a dead cap. There's nothing they can do. They're having a huge dead cap hit with Dak next year. So there's no
$40 million.
Getting rid of Dak and building a super team in Dallas. Even with a star on their helmet, you know, you would think that they could attract free agents. That's not even the case. They don't sign big free agents. That's not the way they've been operating. Yeah, I think this is I think you're looking at some possibly losing times in Dallas. It's been a nice run here, but I don't see how this is all working. Unless, Maggie, are we opening the idea that maybe they're negotiating and say, hey, Dak, you heard what we said in the public. Give us a team-friendly deal or you're not coming back here. Is that possible?
I think Dak would look at Kirk Cousins and look at other free agents on the market and be like, okay, I'll go. I mean, maybe not Kirk Cousins this time around. He didn't get the fully guaranteed contract. It's still got a ton of money for a guy who's coming off an Achilles.
Yep.
And I think he could say, listen, you want me to hit the open market? Let's go. I'm the better option than Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe than an older Matthew Stafford. You know, you want to bring me the market. Like, I'll compete against any of those guys. I'll put my resume up against any of those guys because I've proven I can be a franchise quarterback. And listen, he has the postseason poor record that he has to answer for. So does Cousins. Mm-hmm. Cousins hasn't done diddly in the postseason, and he keeps getting paid and paid and paid. So, you know, to me, I think Dak would welcome going to the open market. I don't think that scares him. It should scare the Cowboys more than the player.
Yeah, the real problem here is not Dak. And I know, again, we are aware the Cowboys fans don't feel this way. The real problem is Jerry.
Well, yeah.
Because you said it earlier, they could have made this a more financially sensible situation a long time ago. And they keep getting stuck in this spot with Dak, which makes it impossible to team build the right way. Also, too, one thing about CD came up small in that playoff game against the Packers.
They all
again,
did.
Yeah. I mean, it was particularly CD was partly because of the coverage, but CD has not had a great postseason, so I'm not sure they have a lot of faith in him.
Okay, but here's
I agree with you. What's a better option?
He's the whole offense.
Yeah.
And what do you think he's going to be this year?
They're not going to win a Super Bowl with this core, though. That is the argument. I understand. They're not on the precipice of a Super Bowl. So I do understand the argument to get rid of him, but there has to be another way, Maggie, right? They can't be, let's go into quarterback purgatory where we're going with a number 25 overall pick next year, which isn't even a good quarterback class. That's not going to win you. Not the timeline the Cowboys fans are going to want.
No, and we just saw that some of the sports books put out over-unders, early over-unders for all the NFL teams. And here we go. The Cowboys are still high at 10.5. I mean, Vegas still expects that this is going to be a very good team, and they might. But again, how does that help you in the future? Because you said it, either you're a good team and you end up having to pay the piper anyway with Dak Prescott, or you're, you know, not a great team, you underachieve, and now you're starting over with somebody else, and who guarantees you that's going to work?
Right.
Wow. I mean, desperate times here. And maybe we're being alarmist. The only positive I will give the Dallas fans on this one is you do have potentially multiple people who are going into the final year of their deal. We know what contract years do for people. Maybe not for coaches, I don't know. But for players, they play great. They tend to play better in contract years. It's not a knock. I think it's human nature. However, Dak Prescott was an MVP candidate. Can he play a lot better? I thought he played fine. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but he played fine. But you do have these guys who are going into the last year of the contract. Maybe that spurned some kind of us against them, some sort of, you know, all the pressure's off now, just grip it and rip it type of thing. Maybe that's a positive. But does that last you 17 games plus the playoffs?
I don't know. It feels like Dak's been in a contract year in some form or other the last 5 years. It doesn't feel like, it's not like an NBA where a guy's all of a sudden going to show up at the end. That argument sounds great. I wouldn't buy that.
Trying to give some silver linings here.
I mean, honestly, when you look at this franchise, what is the key? Obviously, you got to keep Micah Parsons happy.
Yeah,
other than that, everybody else. Yeah.
Here's the thing about Micah Parsons. Amazing player.
Right.
Can be taken out. Can be schemed out of games.
But he's the only special, really, really, really special Aaron Donald type player on that team. I kind of disagree. I think I'm a little higher on Micah Parsons, and I think he's the crown jewel of this roster.
No, he is. But again, the problems they've had with the big losses, you know, have been San Francisco. You get blown out. Although I thought the defense took a little too much flack. They gave up 45 points, so obviously they stunk that day. But they weren't like they sort of kept the Cowboys in the game. I know that sounds weird. And then in against Green Bay, when they allowed, you know, basically Aaron Jones to just run all over them.
Right. They got to me, that's it. They got to get stronger up the middle, defensive tackles, linebackers. They've had a lot of injuries on both those spots. So if they get stronger up the middle, I think Parsons is amazing. I'm not, you know, Dan Quinn's leaving too on that defense.
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
So that'll be interesting. But basically, we get down to this point. There's no out here. What's the Super Bowl strategy, Maggie? Give me something here.
I just gave it to you. I gave you final year of the contract. I don't know.
Oh,
that's the
best you got is the final year of the contract.
What do you have?
No, I don't. That's the thing. I don't. I think that they are not built to win a Super Bowl. And I don't think that's going to change in the next 3 years. I think this Dak Prescott thing is going to blow up in their face. I think he'll probably have a good year, and they'll sit at the free agency table next year with him, and it's going to be a disaster. We're talking $65 million a year. Because you said Cousins was coming off an Achilles tear and made that much money.
I think
they're going to doom their cap for the rest of eternity if Dak has a good season, which I think he will.
I mean, Dak going to free agency, he'd be like, make my day. I mean, why not? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I think confidence is an all-time low with the Cowboy fans. We have Cowboy fans who call this show who don't feel great about the team. And every time Jerry talks into a microphone, I feel worse about what's going on. And I know he's
a
character. I know. That's every day.
Hold on. He just spoke into a microphone. You feel worse?
It's tough. It makes me feel bad for Cowboy fans because the messaging is all off, and they say they have a plan, but is it?
This could be 2009, 2013, 2017. Jerry says a lot of words. They don't always mean anything. I mean, they started off this offseason with the biggest lie that we are all in. It's clearly not true. Maybe locked and loaded is the new all in.
It's the new all in. We've turned from all in to locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Okay. I think all these things are just trying to placate and string along a fan base. And I've always said this and I've maintained it that I always think Jerry just wants to keep the carrot out there for you guys. He doesn't actually care about the Lombardi.
But
I think I've been proven right in many ways this offseason.
But if that was true, he would re-sign Dak right now. I think if they just, they know they can be good with Dak. I think that he is actually doing something to let Dak hit free agency means, we need playoff success. So maybe that counters your argument, which is a good one, and I know you're not alone, that the Cowboys just want to be good, not win a Super Bowl.
They just want to be relevant.
Well, they know they could re-sign Dak and be relevant for a long time, but it feels like maybe this is this locked and loaded 1 year in with Dak is a we need bigger goals kind of statement. Possible? Is it possible that I can't believe that Jerry Jones doesn't want to win a Super Bowl with every fiber in his being. I just can't buy that.
How about our pal Andrew Kaplan hanging out in the chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio. Perloff and I are again matching. How does this keep happening?
Not really.
We're both wearing navy.
I don't know if this is matching.
Look at it on the stream.
Okay.
we're side by side. It looks like we are matching. Dak to the Giants next year. I'm telling you, you could be Dak to the next year. There's going to be a lot of teams. He would be the top of the list in terms of who's available if he does go to free agency.
Mm. Well, for now. Because you know my theory that Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the free agency market again next year. This is the trend now. There's going to be a lot of guys. It's funny because you mentioned Atlanta. I could see Atlanta, who just signed Kirk Cousins. That feels like a great Dak landing
spot. You might have to wait a minute
for that. We need a new Atlanta for him next year. I think if I'm Dak's agent, I'll tell you what I would do, by the way. If I'm Dak's agent, I take a team-friendly deal. What do you need this money for? I would say, hey, I see Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes signing free agent, friendly, team-friendly. Take $45 million and spread it out so you can have talent around you. I don't know. Dak playing hardball, he's part of the problem as well.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, busy day, fun day. It's a great debate Wednesday around here, so we will do that at the 8 o'clock Eastern hour. We still have March Madness one-hit wonders brackets to update for you as well. And we had a heck of a game last night between the Lakers and the Bucks. We'll get into the double overtime and Anthony Davis really coming through for LA. We'll get to all that next. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're all locked into the Lakers-Bucks last night. Double overtime. No LeBron James for the Lakers. And Lakers trailing by 12 in the fourth quarter, Perloff. They end up and with about 7.5 minutes to go. They were still trailing by double figures. Bucks not able to close the Lakers out. Lakers make it a game. Anthony Davis, phenomenal. And they go to double OT and they win a must. Like, I would say it's must win, but the Lakers are fighting here for the playoffs with 10 games to go now. And this was a huge win for them last night.
So what I'm hearing is Lakers better without LeBron? Yeah, is that where we're going with this?
Actually, they're 6-4, I think, without LeBron.
But they've won recently. It is interesting. I think this is a new Anthony Davis in the sense that he feels like he's the MVP, finally, not LeBron. So that's promising to me in a sense. I mean, we've been flirting with this idea. Is it, though? Why not? I mean,
he's never been consistent.
Yeah, but he's never played 52 minutes in a game, and he did that last night. That was crazy. And he had a banged-up knee, and he was still hurt, and he played out there. Maybe this is a new Anthony Davis. Why not? He's getting older. Maybe he's matured into he's already won a championship, ironically, but maybe he's matured into a 1A on a real contender. I can buy that a little bit.
Well, do you think he's playing tonight against Memphis?
Well, listen, it's the NBA. it's a back-to-back.
Yeah, no, I get it. That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't think so, but it's still pretty incredible that I never would have thought Anthony Davis would be playing 50-plus minutes in a game. I think this is a really good sign for the Lakers.
Well, and also, they kind of had no choice because once you get into the first, you come all the way back in the fourth quarter, then you get in the first OT, and you can't close him out in the first OT. You got to play him in the second OT. I mean, these minutes start racking up, not because Darvin Ham wants to have Anthony Davis out there for 50-plus minutes.
Right, but I think he still played more than anybody else in the game. In the past, we would have expected him to be limping by the third quarter now. Let alone playing 52 minutes. I hope it's another Anthony Davis because I want it on record. I did, after the All-Star break, say the Lakers are going to be the real threat in the West, and I still believe this. I don't care where they are in the play-in. I'm telling you, that is an old team. Austin Reeves is finally playing like I expected him to coming into the season.
Big dagger three last night.
Super dangerous. They have one major flaw to me. That's D'Angelo Russell. But once LeBron comes back, they can sort of de-emphasize how much he has to do for the team. This is a really good team. They will beat up smaller teams in the playoffs because they're big. I think this Lakers team is coming.
Got to 40 wins last night, so 40-32. They're in ninth place in the Western Conference standing. They've won four in a row. This is the one team I really don't want to see in the first round if I'm a younger team. If it's the Denver Nuggets, good night. If it's the Oklahoma City Thunder, I don't know. And maybe I'm being a little like ageist or whatever or biased because the Oklahoma City Thunder are just so young, or like the Minnesota Timberwolves just don't have a lot of experience, more than OKC, obviously, in the playoffs. But I think going up against one of those two teams, if they get to the top spot in the Western Conference, that's good news for the Lakers. I think they can use their sort of their experience. And if it's the Clippers, I don't know.
You just have to. The whole key to the West playoffs is avoid the Denver side.
Right.
So if Denver's won, you don't want to be in the 4-5. My Pelicans, unfortunately, have a collision course with the Nuggets.
Yep.
You don't. So you definitely do not want to see the Nuggets. Other than that, you definitely, if you're the Lakers, you're dying to see the T-Wolves, and you're very excited to see the Thunder. Look at the play-ins. The play-in teams are crazy. It's Golden State, Lakers, Phoenix, Sacramento, and Dallas are flip-flopping. Those are really, really good teams, and a lot of them are playoff tests. You think those teams, those young teams, want to see Domantas Sabonis in the postseason? This, I think the standings are irrelevant in the West. I think all these old teams are going to be right there. Mark my words. Watch the Thunder go to the finals. But no,
clip that.
I think any of these old teams could face the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. Especially the Lakers, because they're so big, and once they beat them in a four games, you know, beat them four times, beat LeBron and Anthony Davis. If you're not Jokic, I don't see it happening.
There's another part. There's a flip side of this on the Milwaukee side, too. Just spare a thought for them for a second. I mean, they're the second seed right now in the East. This game is not going to matter a lot in the long run. But you did have a 19-point lead. You have no LeBron James. You have your healthy guys, Giannis and Dame. You had a chance for Dame time. End of regulation, he ends up missing the shot. And then in overtime, Giannis missed two crucial free throws. Probably didn't have his legs under him at that point because he played so much. I mean, that was a tough night for Milwaukee, where you feel like you've got a team on the ropes and you couldn't close them out.
I mean, look at the sideline. Who's your coach?
Can't blame Doc for everything. I was wondering how he was going to spin this one.
If it's game seven against the Celtics, do you have any faith in their coach? Come on. I think the Bucks are a really good team, but I think it's a nervous time for Bucks fans. Do you really look at Doc Rivers and where this team is and say, oh, my God, we're going to beat Boston in the East? I'm not hearing a lot of that.
Well, Mr. NBA is here, Andrew Bogish, fresh off the charter flight. Mm. He's been in Milwaukee. He just saw them up close and personal with the Nets.
Doc sends his regards, by the way. He misses you.
Love Doc. Yeah. Great guy.
You should. Sucks.
19-point fourth quarter lead is like a 3-1 series lead.
I had that feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, why are Damian Lillard and Giannis, who are Giannis is young, suck and win at the end of the game at home, and the Lakers had all this energy? Come on, Giannis.
Well, they've been treating a lot of this season like it's a summer camp. Like, I'm being real. Like I know you guys are excited about the Lakers, and you guys have been excited about the Lakers. I'm a little still tempered on them. I think this is more about the Bucks. Like, that's a game. And I would say that they do kind of need to win these games. Like, I don't think you want to be 3, which is possible still in the standings, and you're going to have to go to a road game in the second round, potentially.
Doc Rivers has never cared about that with veteran teams. Look what he did with the Celtics when he was there. They could give a crap about home field advantage.
And I think this is going to hurt this team. I think it's hurt them in the past, even when they had Budenholzer, because they lost to the Celtics in a game 7 on the road because they, again, didn't take the regular season seriously as they needed to. This was an awful loss for the Bucks. The Lakers look great, but I still wonder, with the stretch they're going to have to go through to make sure they avoid missing the playoffs, will you have the legs in a first-round matchup against, I'm not as crazy about the T-Wolves, I keep saying that, but if you're against the Thunder, a young team that's firing all cylinders, that's going to have fresh legs, will you have enough legs to beat a team like that in 7 games? That, I think it'd be a hell of a series, but I don't think it'd be a gimme.
We're burying the lead here. I think we get another LeBron, J.J. Redick podcast today.
Oh God.
Pete.
Awesome. Oh, woof.
This is if you designed a podcast in a lab to tick off Pete Bilotti, it would be LeBron James, JJ Redick drinking expensive bottles of wine together.
And messing up with WWE.
That would be
the only other thing they could add to that is just that they were sitting there just dumping on WWE.
That's right.
LeBron loves the wrestling though, so he wouldn't do that.
That's the only thing he and Pete have in common. This podcast was designed to annoy our boss and Pete. Our boss, Spike Eskin, not a fan of J.J. Redick or LeBron, for that matter.
Who cares about what they have to say about the NBA, really? I'm really tired of it.
Who cares what LeBron has to say about basketball?
I really don't care. Look, go play and leave me alone. And J.J. Redick, I've had enough of him. I said I would listen to the podcast if they were talking about other things. If they were talking about non-NBA topics, I'd be really into it. If they're talking about football, if they were talking about the deficit or talk about something else, I'll be into it.
Wait. Oh, yeah, because you want LeBron on politics?
podcast? I take that back.
Okay, thank you.
I think, Pete, we should come up with your, like, if you gave them a rundown, that's what producers do, right? You give a rundown, you work on a rundown with the talent. So if you had the top 5 topics, can you work on this maybe like over the next couple hours?
I'll give you 3 shows that they could do. 3 30-minute shows they could do. And I'll give you a rundown for each one of them.
I want to see would be on the rundown if Pete Bilotti was producing the LeBron James JJ Redick podcast.
Do you get to bring on Kevin Hart like the shop? Do you get a funny person?
All right, yes. On one of the shows, I'll give you a funny
get
person.
Get one guest. And you have to name the guest.
Yes.
Not Don Rickles.
And The Rock doesn't count because The Rock's already assumed that'll be there. That's just like furniture on any kind of show right now. Yeah.
The Rock and his fake dinosaur sculpture.
Yeah. The Rock will be there, obviously. We'll just not even count that.
All right. We've got an assignment for today. Bogish has headlines, Lou.
It's all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers. And apply online today. Lakers.
Give a little loving to your body, Macarena. Because your body's made for love and feeling good. It's a no-brainer.
Pierre Schwartz would 100% be the update guy on LeBron and J.J. Redick's non-basketball podcast.
not when Pete's running the show.
Lakers Bucks provided almost all of the drama in the NBA last night. The Thunder and Pearl's Pelicans gave us some with OKC throwing away an 88-68 lead and then rallying late.
Left wing door, it opens. Scores a 3 for the lead that's online and in there. Cha-ching and Thunder Money Ball. Oh, baby. Thunder 115, the Pelicans 112, a minute one to play. The building is silent.
Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio.
Bogus, you going to use that call? What? I don't even know what he just said. What?
Cha-ching a Thunder Moneyball?
Oh, okay, is that
that's
a thing for him?
That's trademarked. I couldn't even. I probably just got
one of those.
$5 now.
You need one of those, a cha-ching a Moneyball? That's great.
He didn't say Chumbawamba? That's what I thought he said.
Chumbawamba.
Now, Chumbawamba might be free, so let me mark that one down for next time.
Chumbawamba got upset in our March Madness bracket of one-hit wonders.
They did.
Ridiculous.
The Pelicans don't need a call like that because C.J. McCollum cannot hit a shot or the ocean with his jumper, so they're fine.
Oh, my gosh.
Mike Breen way off?
Yeah, C.J. McCollum, E.J.'s favorite player because he lived in the Lehigh Valley where he's from.
He went to school there. And whatever. I saw him on a bus randomly going to Lehigh Valley, which was really cool.
Yeah. Now, it'd be nice if he stepped up and played well. All right,
that
go ahead.
That story's not cool player. For CJ.
Wait, are you angry as a fake Pelicans fan at CJ McCollum?
You're a Pistons fan. Yeah.
I'm hugely angry. I mean, the Pistons, listen, my Pistons are going to be there in 3 years. I'm going to the parade.
The bus station
I'm
in
going to
Lehigh
the
Valley?
Parade in Auburn Hills or wherever they play. I'm going to the parade in Rochester, Michigan.
The Palace.
Say hi to Jack Golke. He's probably going to be in year 10 of eligibility playing.
You know, I'm a legit Zion Williamson fan. So that's something. I mean, that's not fake. You say I'm a fake Pelicans fan?
Well, I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to be angry at C.J. McCollum on a Wednesday morning in late March because he didn't shoot well against the whoever they played last night.
Thunder.
Moneyball. Thunderball.
Ka-ching. 119-112 was the final in that one. OKC scoring the final 12 points of the night. One of their Jalen Williams scored 26 points, 24 and 8 assists from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Warriors rolling through Miami, 113-92 with Klay Thompson scoring 28. And the Mavs hammered the Kings in Sacramento, 132-96. To break their tie for sixth out west. That's five in a row for Dallas. Luka had 28 points, 11 boards, and six assists. Kentucky confirming last night that John Calipari is keeping his job despite another disappointing tournament, this time losing to Jack Golke in Oakland. Cal's $33 million buyout might have been the deciding factor in keeping that job. NFL owners did some TV business yesterday. They confirmed that Amazon Prime's getting a wild card game next postseason. That Eagles game in Brazil will be on Peacock.
Ugh.
And we're getting a Christmas Day doubleheader. The league had initially said it was staying away from Christmas since it lands on a Wednesday this year. But then they remembered they're the NFL and they can do whatever they want.
See, that's another thing. That game on Peacock in Brazil, you could have LeBron and J.J. Redick call that game. That could be another version of their podcast because no one's gonna be watching that Brazil game.
Perloff's going to have to find a way.
The Peacock game did really, was it the playoff game? Did really well. And they had a report, who knows if it's true, that 71% of the people who signed up stayed with Peacock after that game, which I don't think they should put out because a lot of people probably realize, oh man, I still have that Peacock subscription. Yes. Yes, I got to get rid of that.
I was going to say, 40% of people who saw that story immediately canceled their Peacock because they remembered. But the game where the Bills played the Chargers was not great for them on Peacock, I heard.
Well,
that was an exclusive. It was at the end of the year. Easton Stick playing against the Bills. I mean, the Bills were in must-win mode as they were for most of the end of the year.
Right, but that was an injury-laden game. This week one, I think they could do really well because the game will mean a lot. I think the Eagles draw pretty well. Yeah, I mean, the Brazil part, I don't even know. Does it matter on TV where the game is played?
Probably not. I mean, I always thought that the lighting in London looks really
weird,
wonky.
Right? Yeah, it's not as good.
Yeah, it always looks... It looks like a soccer match. It's weird. It has a certain almost filter on it. I don't know what.
I think it's where the cameras are placed because I think the soccer cameras are probably higher up. You're right. You could tell at a London game without having to see the field. You guys, you're going to have to watch this. Friday night's not a good viewing night. Are we all in on this game? We're going to have a little party maybe. Why don't we all get together and watch the Peacock Eagles Bucks game?
The Friday of Labor Day weekend at Perloff Palace watching Eagles on Peacock?
It's got to be after Labor Day weekend, right?
I thought it was Labor Day weekend.
Is it Labor Day
weekend? Oh, no, it is. You're right. It's the Friday after Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll all come to Brooklyn. I'm sure, Maggie, you'd love to hang out, not go home on a Friday night in September to watch me cheer on the Eagles.
What I would love to do is get off the air at 10 a.m. and hang around all day until the kickoff is at... What time is the game?
It's that night. The time difference is not that significant.
Yeah, it's definitely a night game, I think.
Yeah. Right. It's got to be kickoff at 8. No, I would love to. I know you're being facetious. I'd love to. But you know what's going to happen? is I'm going to get caught up hanging out with your daughters, and I'm going to miss most of the game, and your wife.
They could care less about the game. What's the opening? They haven't announced who the Chiefs are playing yet, have they?
No. And they haven't confirmed who the Eagles are playing, although it is the Browns, right? Didn't somebody on Cleveland say they were playing in Brazil?
I thought that might have been confirmed.
Yeah. I don't know if it was confirmed, but that was, it was put out to the Browns or the team.
I mean, if you're going to play a game in Brazil, you got to reignite that Eagles-Browns rivalry.
Let's see, how many people in Brazil have heard of Cleveland? So much about Philly. Is there a big Cleveland Brazil connection?
Well, is it Odell like the most popular international player? Every time you go to a London game, everyone's wearing Beckham jerseys because I think maybe they think it's David Beckham. I don't even know why. But either way, and he was a Brown for a year, so maybe
he's a soccer fan. So maybe maybe he's done some deals with soccer.
Yeah, you never know what the overseas team fans like. I don't know. Whatever. I'll make cheesesteaks. It'll be really fun. It'll be a Philly theme party.
Wait,
Bilotti's face just went down.
Hold on. Yeah. You realize that if you're going to invite us all over, you've got to get Peacock.
Oh well, that's a bridge too far.
You know what? You can use my login that night.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my contribution to the party.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
So
I'll wear my Philly's socks.
This is gonna be great.
Oh, from our Secret Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bilotti, you looked a little sad when I said it was going to be a Philly theme.
I don't like Philly.
It's going to be great if the Mets and Phillies are also, it's going to be right in September, right when things are heating up.
To be fair, it could also be a Cleveland theme. I don't know what that would consist of.
No, see, this is my
losing.
Philly.
Lots of losing.
Yeah, but Philly has a lot of delicious food. It's one of my problems with the city. It's a great city, except for being Philadelphia. I wish you could move it, rename it. But cheesesteaks, great. Those twisted pretzels, great.
Yeah, if you think of the food, if Maggie had a Bills party, you would obviously have wings, is really good. But I think Philly has better food than the Bills. And you guys are New York fans. And there's not great food at the stadium there. I don't know, what's a Jets-Giants food?
Crap. It's all terrible.
Yeah, they're not great at food. I think I have the best party here. I think it's going to be fun. Friday night, Brazil. We'll bring our vuvuzelas. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, no. I can't even hear the game now.
That's going to be great for your neighbors. But Brazil really has the best. If we're talking about Brazilian steakhouse, they kind of slam dunk.
Churrasco, is that called? Or what's that called?
Churrascaria?
Where they cut the meat in front of you. I love those places.
I know.
Oh, I like where you go with that one.
Just hire Fogo de Chão.
I was going to say, do they cater?
Yeah, they're going to just set up a steak, thing right in the middle of your living room.
Slabs of meat all over the place.
By the way, they're putting one in the mall near me. I've never been to a Fogo de Chão. I've been to other Brazilian steakhouses. So this one's about to be
Audible.
Striking distance.
Audible, forget Perloff House. We're going to Fogo de Chão to watch the opener.
I like it better.
I'll say this. Do not go to Fogo de Chão after you go to the Preakness.
Okay.
I'll sit back and listen.
I had a bachelor party for my cousin, and the first thing was going to the Preakness.
Right, where you start drinking around 6 a.m.
Right. Yeah. So then you go with that to Fogo de Chão, and we all had our heads on the tables.
But you weren't in the toilets.
Somewhere.
Asleep.
Somewhere.
It wasn't like that scene in Bridesmaids where Kristen Wiig, they had some bad Mexican food and ended up in the bathroom together.
A couple of people were unconscious.
Unconscious.
Unconscious at Fogo de Chão.
For the meat sweats.
I'm sure the restaurant loved that.
Are you banned at Fogo de Chão? Are we going to have a problem?
That was the last time I was at Fogo de Chão.
Your picture's probably up in the back. Maybe we should go to Perloff's house.
Probably got that facial recognition that's happening over at MSG.
That was at the Inner Harbor over there in Baltimore.
Well, I'm sure they've got a list that they share with each other nationwide.
Sure.
What a specific warning. Don't go to a major horse race then a Brazilian steakhouse.
He said it like everyone knows that rule. Like everyone knows. You don't go to a Fogo de Chão after the Preakness.
Yeah, after the second crown, the second jewel of the Triple Crown, you never go to a Fogo de Chão.
Belmont's fine, but not the Preakness.
This is things that LeBron and JJ talk about on the show. Like Fogo de Chão, going to the Preakness, stuff like that.
Today's topic, before or after the Preakness.
Right, the
Fogo
sweats.
De Chão.
No,
it's sweats. The rundown is liquor before beer in the clear?
Right.
Beer before liquor makes you sicker?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember in one of Pete's books, his rules to life? Number two was don't go to Fogo de Chão after the Preakness.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. First one is breathe. Second one is that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you go to Olive Garden after the Belmont, you're asking for trouble.
What's the drink of the Preakness? Like, I know Kentucky Derby is obviously the juleps. What were you drinking at the practice?
Well, that day was beer. Some type of beer. I don't remember what, but it was free, and we had a bunch of it.
Those famous Baltimore beers.
Apparently, the Black Eyed Susan is the drink of...
Oh, what's in it?
It's hard. It doesn't say here, and it's a very quick thing.
All right.
Not low-fat milk, I'll say that.
Can I go with one more audible? Since it goes from Perloff House to Fogo de Chão. Let's go to the Kentucky Derby. I've never been. Let's dress up like the Patriots and go to the Kentucky Derby. Never been to one.
I would have bet you had with Dan.
Yeah, because we were on NBC. They invited us, but for some reason it never happened. Dan's been to all those. I've never been to that kind of horse race. I've been to the Belmont, which was fine. But, yeah, I don't
know. That's a fair assessment.
I want to go to the Kentucky Derby.
He's, like, searching for the words like a professional writer. He's like, it is fine.
Yeah, I think Kentucky Derby, then afterwards, we avoid any large chain restaurants, and we're going to be fine. All right, you got to admit, this all sounds more fun than going to my house on a Friday night.
I just love to know,
expensive.
What's the plan for the Kentucky Derby? Like, how are we getting there?
Hats.
Okay, hats.
No, you start with the hats and the...
Figure the rest out.
Yeah, white sports coats. I mean, if we get the outfits, the rest will fall into place, okay.
I was going to dress like Lincoln, like with a big top hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pete's going to go, like, everyone's wearing spring colors, and why is he wearing a black suit and a top hat?
Perloff is a seersucker. Suit he's been dying to break out.
Oh, I don't have one, but I've always wanted one so badly. I see Tom Brady and the crew showing up and seersucker and
just like dropping MDMA. It's gonna be great.
Oh well, that part I will not do. But
was that Wes Welker?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Why is that one guy dressed like the Monopoly man over there? Oh, that's Pilates.
Do not pass go.
Where'd you find a monocle?
Why do you keep sending people to jail?
You're not
a cop.
Why did the Monopoly man just tell me to avoid Fogo de Chão after the race?
Why did the Monopoly man just corner me and talk for the last 20 minutes? All right. Well,
the last big name.
Buy a house.
The last big name baseball free agent finally has a deal. Reportedly, lefty Jordan Montgomery going to Arizona. He'll get $25 million for the coming season. Holds a vesting option for 2025. That can be worth another $25 million if Montgomery makes 23 starts. And ESPN says Shohei Ohtani's camp continues to deny its request for any confirmation that they have reported their theft allegations against Ipe Mizuhara to any authorities. Guys, back to you.
Yeah, I want to talk about that more. Let's do that after the break. Shohei Ohtani, as you just heard from Bogish, his representative said, we want the authorities to look into this. Which authorities? We're not telling you. 855-212-4CBS. Nothing weird about that. 855-212-4227.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That next. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, so we touched on a little bit before we went into the break, but this is just an update on the Shohei Ohtani story, Perloff, and you had brought this to my attention that... more investigation from ESPN. Now, we got the press conference from Ohtani. Was that yesterday? What day is it? Was that yesterday or 2 days ago? Was that Monday?
It must have been 2 days ago because we talked about it on yesterday's show.
Yeah, whatever. So this week, we got Ohtani at his press conference, and you know, he laid it out that he is the victim in all of this, and that his translator, Ipe Mizuhara, was stealing from him, was lying to him, to the Dodgers, to everybody, and that he is the central figure in this. Now, the lawyers for Ohtani came out big time and talked really tough, like, we are getting authorities to investigate this $4.5 million of theft from our client. ESPN is reporting that not only have Shohei's representative declined again to answer questions about which authorities they've contacted, but that ESPN contacted many of the local and federal, like the likely places you would go if you were reporting this kind of theft, and that none of them would confirm that Ohtani's people have reached out at all.
Yeah, okay. I'm okay with that. To me, can you say that this means that they're guilty in any way?
No, I'm just saying it
sounds like that's what you're saying.
No,
that certainly is what ESPN is saying.
Well, I'm not saying anything. I'm saying there's, as far as the unanswered questions that we still have about this, I think that they're acting, and you want to act like this is so, so serious, and you are the victim of this $4.5 million of theft, and you are at the center of this massive, you know, manipulation that your interpreter was putting you through. You said you're going to contact the authorities. Why haven't you done it? And there, until some of the questions like that, like how did Ipe have the bank accounts, until some of those questions get answered, some people are going to believe Ohtani and some people are still going to be skeptical about his story. So,
well,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think ESPN's saying you're full of crap to Shohei's people and they're honest, which is good. I want this story to be reported really well because you know what's going to happen. Ohtani's camp is going to claim there's something's lost in translation. That's clearly, and maybe there will be something lost in translation, but you know what? I think this is where we differ on the story. I was willing to believe Shohei Ohtani yesterday. Yeah. I think he was clueless and did not know what was happening. You know, and I think there are a lot of people think of that's ridiculous. That's a lot of money. Why would you give this guy the benefit of the doubt? I just think that he had other things going on. I don't know. I think that he trusted his interpreter 100%. And I think it's very plausible this interpreter had access to his computer and his funds. I mean, because he speaks for him. So I'm still in the camp that I'm not ready to really cast doubt on Shohei's story. I believed him. And I feel like an idiot because I never believe anybody in a press conference.
Right. That he's the innocent bystander in all this who is being taken advantage of. And, you know, why I can't jump all the way in there with you is because this story from the very beginning has been spin on top of spin on top of spin on top of spin.
Has it though?
Yes.
But they didn't do any spin. They let the guy talk to ESPN. There was no spin in that. That's the opposite of spin.
And then what happened the moment that he got on the, after he got off the phone with the ESPN
then
reporters.
They started spinning, but they certainly started off the story with no spin, and that's when their problems started.
Actually, the first spin was Mizuhara's spin on the story. Him saying that Shohei was being a good friend and helping me out of these gambling debts and was the one who was at the computer giving the $500,000 wire transfers. That was maybe the first spin. Then the second spin was disavowing that and doing a full turn. And then the next spin is Ohtani's people. And now, I feel like I'm being fed so much BS here. That's why I'm still skeptical, because nothing about this has been straightforward from the beginning, and it's a big story, and I just feel like I'm not closer to getting the truth. I'm closer to getting people's versions of it, but I don't feel like we're closer to the truth.
But here's the only way that Shohei will get in real trouble. If he is a gambling addict who lost $4.5 million, there has to be evidence of this somewhere. There has to be somebody besides these wire transfers. There has to be more. There has to be somebody's like, oh, Shohei bet on a horse race with me. There's got to be something.
The only way he gets in trouble.
But he said he never bet on sports. He just put it out there. I've never bet on sports. I know nothing about sports betting. Why would you make that up knowing that there's 1,000 ways to prove that's not true?
No, that's not the only way he could be in trouble here. And the other way he could be in trouble is if he did authorize those $500,000 wire transfers. Let's say it turns out that Ipe Mizuhara did bet on baseball. Say he bet on the Angels. I mean, if this guy is the degenerate gambler and he's getting himself into a hole, I think a desperate person would do a lot of things. And so if it turns out that Ohtani was the one who was covering for a friend and covering gambling losses for somebody who bet on baseball, I think Ohtani's in trouble there.
Yeah, but don't you think that's a way different degree of trouble? I think, yeah, maybe he'll have some short-term trouble, but I think Ohtani's legacy remains intact if it turns out he was covering for Ipe's bets. Sure. As long as Ohtani didn't make the bets, I think he's okay. You're right, he technically would be in trouble and maybe get a suspension, but it's a much different thing. If it turns out Shohei himself was betting on sports, that's bad. If it turns out he was betting on baseball, he's banned probably indefinitely. I mean, I don't know if banned for life, is that too strong a word? But if he's just helping out a friend in debt, what is it? Maybe they suspend him for 15, 30 days. That's not a big deal. I think his legacy, the thing is, we'll look at Shohei and say, I can understand helping a friend. As long as Shohei didn't place the bets, I think he's okay. Is this a big blow to Shohei's a legacy here?
Well, if it was a 15 or 30 game suspension, then, and that's what you think it might be.
If he was helping out to cover another guy's betting,
then whoever is around him is giving him the worst advice possible.
Why is that?
Because you would take that medicine and come clean and be truthful about it, as opposed to coming out and saying, I didn't know, I'm the victim of theft. Like, he went so far the other way. If this was actually him just covering for a friend, and his people could back channel the baseball, like, what kind of suspension we'd be looking at? This is the facts.
Well,
he should have just said I was being a good friend.
What if? Yeah, but it's also very possible that he was being swindled by this guy. So why would he come out and say that if it's not true? He might be the victim. That's what I'm saying. He could be telling the truth here, Maggie. Sometimes people tell the truth.
855-212-4 CBS. Lots more to do, including big question about the Golden State Warriors. Are they missing the playoffs?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.